This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9, Friday morning show with Leo. Now, Michael Hutchins, of course, was part of INXS, the lead singer of INXS, a band has sold over 45 million units worldwide. Michael passed away in November 1997, but the band is still recording, and last year's INXS TV miniseries was a great success for Channel 7. Joining me on the line is a guy that is a photographer. He's also an author and a friend of Michael, who has spent many years with Michael over the years when he was alive doing his photography. Bit of a mentor role. Welcome to Joy, Mr. Richard Simkin.
Thanks for having me again.
No worries. Now, we spoke last year, Richard, when you released your last book about the Australian legends, which is a fantastic book about our greatest Aussie legends. And
yes,
with this next book, it's all about the life of Michael Hutchins. And as a teenager growing up, you were quite, obsessed with celebrities.
I think most kids have a fascination with celebrities, and I was just like all the other kids. And, you know, back in the 80s when I was a kid, I used to wait at the outside the dressing rooms with the other kids, and when the sporting stars would finish the games, they'd come out and we'd get autographs. And then that kind of moved into more of the international side of things, where when in 89 I found out about a hotel called the Seville, which was in Sydney, and you could go down there and, you know, hang out the front with a bunch of other people, and, you know, people like Bon Jovi would be there, and Kylie Minogue and Cyndi Lauper, and, you know, you could meet them. And that year in 89, I did meet Michael Hutchins, and I was only 15 or 16, and I didn't know what charisma was, but there was something, you know, I knew there was something special about Michael, and he was so charismatic and really, really cool. And a couple of weeks later, I found out that INXS were doing a record at the recording studios, and I popped down there. It was school holidays. It was January 1990, and we're on school holidays. And I popped down to the studios to see if I could meet INXS and Michael again, and I did, and it was pretty cool. And, you know, all of INXS were fantastic. And so I was kind of hanging out there on my school holidays, which was about, I guess, 4 or 5 weeks at the time. And there was a few other girls at the time hanging out there too. And it came time to go back to school, and I said to my mum, instead of going back there and, you know, hitting the books, I should stay at the recording studio with INXS, because, you know, I wanted to become a photographer, and here was the opportunity of a lifetime to do that. And I was, you know, doing lots of photos of Michael Hutchins, and, you know, back in, you know, 89 and 90, he was certainly one of the biggest pop stars in the world, or rock stars in the world. And so, yeah, I never went back to school, and in fact, I spent about 5 months at the studios with INXS, and every day, you know, took more and more photos, and ended up to be a nice little collection. Dream on, white boy, white boy. Dream on, black girl, black girl. And wake up to a brand new day. To find your dreams are washed away. What an amazing opportunity, because obviously back in the 80s, it was a different world back then. You know, there was no smartphones, there was no YouTube, so it was pretty much organic, wasn't it? It wasn't. Yeah, there was a real kind of innocence to all of it. You know, when we took the photos, they were on our camera. We had film, and, you know, we couldn't look at them instantly, so we'd go off and print them and then put them in a photo album, and, you know, that was kind of the end of it. You know, there was no sticking them up on social media and having, you know, hundreds or thousands or possibly millions of people viewing these images. They were just, you know, kind of for us. I guess that's why it kind of happened so nicely, because, you know, when I did these photos of Michael, you know, he was dating Kylie Minogue, he was really famous, he was in the tabloids, and people, of course, were offering money for any sort of photos of, you know, those sort of people. And my photos, you know, were never sold. They were always just for me, and I think that was the nice thing, you know, where Michael trusted me, and that's why I had so much access to him over the years.
I guess over the years, he was more of a mentor, a big brother, I guess, to you as well, because you were a teenager and you were with this the world's biggest band, one of the world's biggest bands, and the lead singer took you under his wing and really encouraged you with your photography and everything and helped you. What's the biggest misconception about Michael Hutchins, do you think?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I think probably, because he was a big rock star and, you know, there was always girls around and he had famous girlfriends and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, you read some of the tabloid stories that he was always bedding girls and stuff. And I think that was a misconception. I think, you know, Michael loved, you know, kind of just sitting around with a bunch of people and just talking about everything, you know, from politics to movies to poetry and everything in between. And, you know, he'd often just sit around with a bunch of people and just, you know, talk, you know, and it could be all night, you know. He could invite a bunch of people back to his hotel room and, you know, a lot of them might have been, you know, very sexy girls. And but no one tried anything, you know, he never tried to, you know, hit them up and all that sort of stuff and take advantage of them. You know, he enjoyed, you know, a glass of wine and sitting on the floor and having a chat. So it wasn't always, you know, the kind of that sex, drugs and rock and roll lifestyle, which people may have think that he led. There was a much higher level, you know, of Michael. So slide over here and give me a moment. Your moves are so raw. I've got to let you know. I've got to let you know. There's something about you, girl, that makes me sweat. Joining the 4.9 Friday morning show with Leo, my special guest on the line from Sydney this morning is author and photographer Richard Simkin. Now, he's written a book all about Michael Hutchins, of course, the lead singer of In Excess, a great showman, a great lead singer for a band, and an Aussie icon. Now, Richard, you mentioned before the break that he dated some famous woman. And, of course, for our audience, Kylie Minogue is, of course, you know, this huge gay icon. And back in 89 to 91, he dated Kylie Minogue. Yeah.
It's been reported a lot over the years that Michael's favourite hobby was corrupting Kylie.
Yeah.
But what do you think Kylie taught Michael during that relationship?
I think she would have taught him a lot, you know, because I guess he was rediscovering that early stages of fame and rediscovering, you know, I guess almost the music industry, you know, for the first time with Kylie, because she'd only been in the sort of pop world for a year or two before he started dating Mike. I think Like Emotion came out in 87, didn't it? So it was all kind of new to Kylie. And I don't know, I guess, you know, like how Michael took me under his wing. Well, I guess he did the same with Kylie, but of course they, you know, they had a relationship there. But I guess they taught each other a lot of things. And yeah, Michael was quoted, as you said before, you know, his favourite sort of hobby was corrupting Kylie. But I'm sure Kylie may have taught him a few things as well over the years.
Exactly. And of course, when you were in the studio, you ran into Kylie quite a bit in the studio.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Obviously, she's a fantastic Aussie icon in her own right. So do you still keep in contact? Have you seen her over the years since then?
I used to see her quite a bit, kind of during the 90s. Well, I haven't seen her for many years. I haven't seen her probably for about 7 or 8 years now, so I doubt she'd even remember me. But back in the 90s, you know, we certainly knew each other. And, yeah, she would visit Michael, of course. I mean, you know, because even though they were both very famous, they're still both people, and they were boyfriend and girlfriend. So, you know, Michael's work was at the studios, and that's where he did his work and made albums. So, you know, of course, you know, the girlfriend would come along, and who just happened to be Kylie, and hang out there. And so she'd be at the studios as well. So we got to spend a bit of time with her. And, you know, she'd walk around Oxford Street up in Sydney and go shopping a lot. And her and Michael would go out clubbing around Paddington and Oxford Street in Sydney. And they were quite regulars, both of them, back in the, you know, back in those days. And you know, they really loved the scene, so it was cool because, you know, I was kind of part of it for a while as well, so it was a lot of fun. You wanna make a suicide bomb.
Over the years, you remained quite close to Michael. You know, went to his concerts and caught up with him when he was in town and everything.
Yeah.
Do you recall the last time you saw Michael before he passed away?
I do,
was he,
yeah.
Was he in good spirits? So what was going through his mind? Was he in a good space, I guess?
Well, look, as we all know, he probably wasn't in a good space.
Yeah.
But, look, I caught up with him and his dad 2 days before he passed away. So I saw Michael on the 20th of November, 97, it was a Thursday, and me and his dad, who I knew quite well, Kel and Michael, went down to a cafe in Double Bay, and we spent some time down there chatting. And look, you know, Michael, I guess he had, obviously there was a lot going on, as we found out, you know, sometime later. So, but he didn't speak about it on that day. You know, he was looking forward, you know, to Paula and Tiger and possibly some of the other kids coming out from London. And INXS were about to start their Australian tour again. I know he just had some meetings in Los Angeles with people like Quentin Tarantino and Michael Douglas about doing some sort of Hollywood work. So, you know, even though there was the negative side of things in his life, there was also a lot of positives too. So I didn't see, you know, any sort of darkness in him, you know, I guess you could say 2 days before he passed away. And of course, you know, none of us could predict, you know, what was about to happen.
Because the 22nd of November 1997 must be a date in your mind, Richard. I mean, the date that Michael passed away was, the world lost a rock star, you know, one of the leading rock stars, and in such a charismatic person, loved his family, loved his fans, loved the band. Do you remember the day where you found out? Where were you when you found out the bad news?
Well, you know, it's a good question, but I was supposed to take him to rehearsals the day he passed away. So on the first day, you know, when I last saw him, I said to him, how are you getting to rehearsals? They were doing, you know, band rehearsals for the concerts. And he said, I don't have my Harley at the moment. I'm getting it next week. So I'm just getting taxis. And I said, okay, well, tomorrow I'm busy, but on Saturday I can come to the hotel and take you to rehearsals. And he was like, oh, okay, great, yeah. So, you know, we kind of made a time of about, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock type thing. And got down to the hotel, and I saw some, after a little while of waiting, I saw some very kind of nervous-looking hotel staff. And then from memory, I think an ambulance turned up, and then the police turned up. And then a short time later, a news cameraman came running down the street. He had the camera on his shoulder, and he came up to me, and I was still standing out the front, but obviously was aware that, you know, something had obviously gone on, not to the extent of what had happened, but I was thinking, you know, something's gone on upstairs. And I said, what's going on? And he said, oh, I've just been in the van up the road, the news van, and was listening to the police radio, because, you know, they did that looking for stories. And he said, I heard that an Australian international rock star had been found dead in his hotel room. Do you know who that might be? So I guess that's how I found out that Michael had died.
Oh my God! I can't believe what you went through that day, Richard.
It was surreal, you know. And I a few weird things happened from that day. My girlfriend was working in a department store back in '97, and I instantly called her, and you know, she picked up the phone, and you know, it was David Jones, so it was quite a large department store. And I said, I've got some horrible news, and she said, what? And I said, Michael's dead. And she told me, as soon as I said those words, there was a blackout on the floor where she was in David Jones. And the whole of that level where she was working went completely black. And the lights were out for about 10 minutes, and it was just one of those really surreal moments. As soon as I said those words to her, she said, you wouldn't believe it, that the whole floor's gone dark. So, yeah, it was just one of those surreal kind of moments in your life where you kind of keep questioning it, you know, why, how, what happened. And I guess many people are still asking those questions. We could live for a thousand years, but if I hurt you, I make wine from your tears. I told you that we could fly,
we all have wings, but some of us don't know why. I was standing, you were there.
His memory lives on in your new book, which is out right now. It's called Michael Hutchins, Michael in Pictures, a celebration of the life of Michael Hutchins. Now, in this book, Richard, there is hundreds of personal photos of Michael that you've taken over the years, from when you were a teenager to, you know, when he just before he passed away. And many unseen as well. So I guess you've always said that you've never, I guess, sold the photos. But is now a good time to sort of let the world see those photos? And knowing Michael's father was also up for you during the book as well.
Yeah, well, after Michael passed away, and, you know, this happens with all of us, I guess, when someone close to you passes, you obviously start to remember them, you think of them, you know, go back to the stories and the time you spent with them. And for me, because I had so many photos over those 8 years, I started going through my photo albums because, you know, that's where all my photos were, and started remembering all the old stories and, you know, oh, that's right, this happened then, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I thought, well, I should, you know, I really want to do something with all these photos. I had so many. There was literally 500-600 photos that I had of him over the years. And so I rang up his dad about 2 or 3 weeks after Michael passed, and I said, we had a long chat, and I said, look, I really want to do something for Michael, like a nice tribute. And I'm thinking of some sort of maybe like a coffee table, you know, photo book. And he goes, I love the idea, Richard. Come over to my apartment. So I went over there. I took a box of photos. We went through a lot of them. And I just said to Kel, I said, you know, do you want to do something together? And he said, look, that'd be fantastic. So we got together on the project and we started working on it. And then Kel passed away in 2002. And then after that, I got another book deal for something else. And then other things sort of came up into my life. And other books were produced that I did. Other exhibitions came up. But throughout that whole time, I slowly put together this book on Michael because, you know, there was never any rush for me. I knew I had all the photos. I knew I had all the stories. I just had to do it when I wanted to do it. And so it was just a matter of finding the right balance, you know, with the photos, the right stories. And I didn't want to kind of wait for, like, an anniversary. You know, I wasn't thinking, oh, you know, I'll do it on, like, a 10th anniversary or a 20th anniversary or something obvious. I thought, I'll just do it when I think I'm ready to do it. And last year when that book came out that I did called 100 Australian Legends, when that finished and came out and I finished promoting it, I kind of went through the Michael Hutchins folder and I thought, okay, now I'm ready to do this. So I started working on it.
What's the feedback been like from fans and from Michael's family, Richard?
The fans, like, certainly for me on Facebook, you know, the Michael fans that, you know, on Facebook that I know and stuff and, you know, and post things on my wall are really excited because I guess it's the kind of, it's quite a unique book. Like, it's the first book of its kind about Michael. So the other books that have come out over the years were, you know, kind of like autobiographies, where this isn't. This is a very much of a, for the fans, it's a picture book, it's a tribute book, there's lots of, it's all positive, so it's all nice stories.
It's a celebration.
It's a celebration, yeah. No, it doesn't get into the life and, you know, the last couple of years of his life and the tabloid and all that sort of stuff where other books may have touched on. Yeah, this celebrates his life, so it's really, really doing well with the fans because they're just thanking me, saying thanks for doing this because, you know, we've waited so long for someone to do something really positive, so I'm just so happy that I can make other people happy with the photos that I've taken.
Michael, in pictures, a celebration of the life of Michael Hutchins from 1960 to 1997 is available in-store now. Over 350 pages and photos of Michael from his career. Photographed by Richard Simkin, my special guest this morning. Richard, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the show.
Oh, no, it's always a pleasure, and I enjoyed our chat last year. I've still got that downloaded, and I listened to our chat. I thought it was a fantastic interview, and you're doing a really good job, and thanks for thinking of me again and talking about the Michael book. It's fantastic.
No worries, Richard. And if fans want to get in contact with you, they can do that on your Facebook page?
Yeah, Facebook. I'm on Twitter. This MichaelHutchinsBook.com is the website for that Michael book. So, yeah, there's lots of ways they can touch base and say hello.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Richard, for your time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.